From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. President Donald Trump has criticized Congress for failing to act to stem the flow of illegal immigration, declaring dead a program that protects immigrants brought illegally to the U.S. as children. Mark Jones is a political science professor and chair of Latin American Studies at Rice University.
What this signals is a hardening of the president's position on DACA, and it means that of the 750,000 people who currently benefit from it, we're going to see more and more of them lose their status and have to fade back into the shadows as their DACA permits effectively expire over the next few years.
Mr. Trump had given Congress until March 6 to resolve the matter, but lawmakers were unable to meet the deadline. A leading Democrat said Mr. Trump rejected bipartisan options. A court injunction has kept the program in place for now. Mr. Trump earlier tweeted the Congress must also pass border legislation to fully fund a wall along the U.S.-Mexico border. He was reacting to news of a caravan of hundreds of would-be immigrants from Central America heading to the U.S. Manuel Padilla, the U.S. Border Patrol, said this type of illegal entry has been tried before.
My concern is that if this group, which I believe it's illegally in Mexico right now, if it is not handled appropriately, that's going to kind of generate interest for other groups to do the same thing.
The caravan was organized by the U.S.-based immigration advocacy group People Without Borders. Opposition candidate Julius Marrubio's supporters claim victory following Saturday's presidential election runoff in Sierra Leone. The candidate himself said he would respect a fair outcome.
I am a Democrat and I have a very competitive spirit. You know what I did in 2012? And if it is free and fair election, and I think it is the process of tallying is transparent and above board, we accept the result.
The country's election commission is yet to release results. This is VOA News. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says he was suspending an agreement with the UN to relocate thousands of African migrants, a plan that would have also kept about half the migrants in Israel. The agreement struck with the UN refugee agency earlier cheered migrants like Tegrid Michael.
That's making me happy. Really, I'm happy because I saw in the last few years a lot of people lost their hope because of that deportation to unsafe place. Because we saw in the last few years a lot of people are really dead and lost in those countries. So I'm really happy today.
Most of the immigrants come from Eritrea and Sudan. In Nigeria, at least 15, including one soldier, were killed, scores of others wounded, in a suspected Boko Haram attack in the northeast city of Maiduguri. The military said the attack in a cashew plantation near a military barracks occurred late Sunday and claimed at least 13 insurgent lives. The U.S. military says it killed five militants after launching an airstrike Sunday near El Bur, targeting al-Shabaab insurgents in the semi-autonomous Somali region of Galmudug, nearly 400 kilometers northeast of Mogadishu. SpaceX Monday launched a used supply ship on a used rocket to the International Space Station.
Falcon 9 is on its way to delivering the Dragon spacecraft for its 14th commercial resupply services mission.
The Dragon capsule is full of food, experiments, and other supplies and should reach the space station by Wednesday. SpaceX hopes to reuse recycled space components in order to save launching costs. There are conflicting reports of an Afghan airstrike Monday in the northern province Kunduz. Kabul said it targeted a gathering of Taliban fighters. Insurgents said an Islamic religious school was hit. Many civilians died. One security source said Taliban commanders were gathered inside the madrasa, where a graduation ceremony was underway. Syria's state media report that the last rebel group in eastern Ghouta near Damascus has begun withdrawing under an agreement with the government for safe passage. But Jaish al-Islam, which controlled the town of Douma, has not yet confirmed the agreement. In professional golf, it is a big week as golfers from all over the world gather for the competition known as the Masters in Augusta, Georgia. Many eyes are on a rehabilitated Tiger Woods, who is seeking his fifth green jacket and 15th major title. Bubba Watson is both competitor and friend.
As a friend, you want him healthy. And as a competitor, you want him healthy. So, yes, there's nothing but great things when he's healthy. I mean, what he's been able to do with the on and off the course to help the game of golf and help young people, you know, being on course and winning again is going to just help that many more people.
Woods last won at Augusta 13 years ago. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Barton in Washington. Today is Tuesday, April 3rd, and here are some of the stories we are covering. The world remembers Winnie Mandela of South Africa, who died yesterday at age 81.
Many people may think that she became popular because she was a Mandela, Nelson Mandela's wife. No, she was Winnie Mandela in her own right.
Edna Molewa is a member of the National Executive Committee of the ruling African National Congress of South Africa. Egyptian President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi wins re-election with about 98% of all valid ballots cast. And vote counting continues from Saturday's Sierra Leone presidential runoff election.
Our message now to the people of Sierra Leone and all other stakeholders is that let them continue to be patient. We now have everything on board and we're going to ensure we do it as soon as possible so that the elected leader for the people of Sierra Leone will be announced within the next 3 hours.
Alba Masekwa is the spokesman for the National Electoral Commission of Sierra Leone. African scientists compete at the 2018 Next Einstein Forum in Rwanda. And tomorrow, April 4th, is the 50th anniversary of the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Those stories, plus our listener of the day, are coming up on Daybreak Africa. The world is remembering Winnie Madikizela Mandela, the South African anti-apartheid campaigner and former wife of the late President Nelson Mandela, who died yesterday at age 81. The family said in a statement that she passed away after a long illness. During Mandela's 27 years imprisonment on Robben Island, Winnie became the face of the struggle against apartheid. South African President Cyril Ramaphosa on Monday night paid tribute to Winnie, describing her as a voice of defiance and resistance. Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari called her a courageous woman whose death will be a huge loss for Africa. Edna Molewa is a member of the National Executive Committee of the ruling African National Congress. She says Winnie will be remembered as a woman who fought for the poor and won South Africa where the rights of all are respected.
Indeed, it is the very shocking news in South Africa. We knew that she was recently very unwell, coming in and out of hospital, but still none of those events of hospitalization and so could prepare us adequately for this moment because she was really still looking young. So South Africa is in a state of mourning, one of the greatest icons of our country, an internationalist indeed, and a revolutionary to the core who fought through thick and thin. Throughout the struggle for liberation, she has led, and as a woman in her own right, just fighting the regime, sometimes even single-handedly. Her spirit was driven by her love for her people here in South Africa, particularly the poorest, because she was a voice of the most poor, those who are suffering, those who are experiencing injustices at any given point.
Edna, the president of South Africa, Cyril Ramaphosa, addressed the nation, describing Winnie Mandela as the voice of defiance and resistance. I'd like for you to talk about what role exactly do you think she played in the liberation of South Africa?
That description that President gave is such a perfect description of her. She was part of women, more than 20,000, who actually defied the then regime and marched to the union buildings to go and demand the release of our people in South Africa, men and women who were arrested, but to also say we are giving a warning to use the leader of the time of the apartheid government. We are giving you warning that now you have touched a woman, you have touched a rock, and we shall never, never obey this. We will defy continuously. And that's befitting a message that our president delivered today in describing what she is and what she stood for. Even after Dr. Nelson Mandela was incarcerated, she fought and continued to fight, not because she was saying, release my husband. She was saying, release the prisoners, yes, but let South Africa be free.
She held the fort throughout the years that her husband was in jail. And yet, as you mentioned earlier, so much injustice was done to her. Can you comment on that?
Yes, I'm saying the injustices because just imagine if you just give birth to two young girls. They're still under 10 years old. The father is arrested. She actually had never experienced true family life, true love as a family spending time together. Husband is gone, and she also gets incarcerated. The children come to see her in jail, in and out of prison, sometimes pulled by the police from amongst her own children in a family situation. It's a real, real injustice.
Before I let you go, what do you think will be her legacy, particularly within the African National Congress, South Africa as a whole, and Africa?
I just want to start talking about women, for us as women. She really is a rock who we actually learned from so much, to be self-confident, to speak out when injustice is being done. She has taught us so much, and doing that by example, how to become confident and even fight for what is rights of our people or our rights of our people. We learned that there is no need for South Africa to ever, ever have a country where rights of our people are trampled on and keep quiet. Never, ever. Thirdly, which is the last point I must state, is that she has always fought for the poor. And she was, even up to this last moment of her death, fighting for the poor to become dignified, but also to get all services that they deserve. And that we really need to take from what she wanted to see and ensure that we work even harder to ensure that the poorest and the poor in this country are also feeling liberated and fully liberated as part of our nation.
Edna Molewa is a member of the National Executive Committee of the ruling African National Congress and also Minister of Environmental Affairs of South Africa. She was speaking with me from Johannesburg. Egypt's official National Election Authority has declared incumbent President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi the overwhelming victor in last week's three-day presidential election. Edward Urania reports for VOA from Cairo.
Supporters of President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi held an impromptu rally for their candidate in Cairo's Tahrir Square as voting got underway Monday at polling stations across the capital and Egypt's 14 provinces. Security was tight as police and military forces stood guard at key government buildings and installations. Officers wore their dress uniforms as they kept watch over voters arriving at polling stations. Army helicopters overflew parts of the capital. One middle-aged voter traded banter with polling workers as he dipped his finger in the indelible ink container after slipping his vote into a plastic ballot box at a school in the Giza district of Do'i. Elsewhere, Egyptian TV showed a smiling President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi shaking hands with electoral workers as he cast his ballot in the Cairo district of Heliopolis. A large crowd of villagers gathered outside a polling station in the province of Dakhaliya as women ululated from time to time to applaud those who were going in to vote. A voter named Ashraf told VOA that despite some misgivings, he was optimistic the situation in Egypt was heading in the right direction.
This is a transition period and it's not guaranteed to be the maximum, our hopes. Hopefully by the end of the second term of the president, we will be ready for the next step.
Al Jazeera TV, which supports the Muslim Brotherhood group now outlawed in Egypt, reported the group had urged its supporters to abstain from voting. Several secular parties also recently called on their supporters not to vote as well. The secular Al-Ghad party, whose leader Musa Mustafa Musa is the only candidate to oppose President Sisi in the current election, told supporters that he did not care who won so long as everyone turned out to vote. Edward Uranian for VOA News, Cairo.
You're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voices of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today's Tuesday, April 3rd, and please send your comments and opinions to Daybreak Africa at voanews.com. Daybreak Africa time is now 15 minutes past the hour. The spokesman for Sierra Leone's National Electoral Commission says final results from the March 31st presidential runoff election will be announced within the next 3 days. Albert Masekwai also says the electoral body has resumed vote tallying after it was stalled due to a disagreement between the commission and the two competing political parties over what software to use in tallying the vote. The dispute was resolved during a meeting between the commission and the two candidates, Samura Kamara of the ruling All People's Congress Party and former military ruler Brigadier Julius Mada Bio of the Sierra Leone People's Party. Electoral Commission spokesman Abra Masekwai tells viewer Peter Clotty that the group will continue to engage the political parties to ensure the electoral process is transparent and credible.
The Electoral Commission has started tallying in all regional offices with respect to the issue of presidential results for the runoff. Earlier in the day, a communique was signed for the restart of the process. You know, since after the elections on Saturday, there were issues for discussion, and as a result, we were unable to do much regarding that. But the commission, having met with the two presidential candidates, Dr. Samura Kamara of the All People's Congress and retired Brigadier Julius Mada Bio of the Sierra Leone People's Party, and they did sign a communique. So that has actually created the opening for us to restart the process. And since then, we've resumed, and tallying is ongoing in all of the regional tally centers.
Are these parties satisfied with the use of the Microsoft Excel sheet to tally the results? Because there appear to be a disagreement. Are they satisfied with the explanation? And how do you intend going forward with this?
So far, after the engagement, because the engagement started since yesterday, right throughout the night, and it continued this morning with some former heads of state, African heads of state. Based on the engagement, we want to presume they are now satisfied because they have put their signature on the communique. So based upon that, and we ensured that we explained to them so that they need to have trust in the process, because the commission has the authority by law to conduct the election, tally the results, and announce certified results. Whatever happens, if the parties or the candidates have reservations, the essence for the commission to open up, engage them, and explain to them. For the fact that they have signed the communique, we presume that they have trust in the process, and that is the reason why the process is going on now. But what we did as a commission was to explain to them so that they can understand step by step how we're going to go about the process. And besides, elections results management is a process. It starts at polling station level, where results are counted manually in the presence of political party agents, which we've explained to the party. And these agents have the responsibility to get copies for their political parties, who in turn they can do their own parallel tallying. So what we are doing is just to consolidate all of these manual results that were generated at polling station level. All of these have been explained to the political parties. And since that time, based on the engagement and the process has begun, we'll take it for granted based on their signatures that they are now allowing the process to continue.
When does the Electoral Commission think, on average, will it be able to gather all the results from all the polling stations across the country to determine who won the election? Because I understand a lot of Sierra Leoneans are worried that the process seems to be dragging on.
Thankfully, we started the process, and we hope to complete the process within 73 hours. We expect within 73 hours, the commission would have been able to announce presidential results for the runoff.
Albert Masekwai is the spokesman for Sierra Leone National Electoral Commission. He spoke with viewers Peter Clotty from the capital, Freetown. The press secretary to South Sudan Vice President Wani Iga has resigned. David Mayan Dang Di says he left his job because he feels guilty serving in a government that is involved in what he calls blanket condemnation.
I came to realization that I could not serve the people of South Sudan from that capacity as the press secretary of South Sudan.
But you have been serving the people of South Sudan in that capacity for 10 years, Deng did.
Well, I for 5 years since Vice President His Excellency Waniga was appointed in place of Mutoriak 2013 up to last Friday. Those are 5 years. I do appreciate his goodwill for the people of South Sudan, but I could not continue, John.
Why could you not continue?
I have come to a realization that I could not serve two masters at the same time. I could not serve the government while also trying to serve the people without a big dose of hypocrisy.
Let's talk about the hypocrisy. It's an interesting point here. Who is a hypocrite here?
I would be a hypocrite if I pretended to be serving too much. A government that is sending its people away, that is subjecting its people to different forms of suffering, and the same people that are victims of our government. So I could not do both things at the same time.
You traveled from Juba to the Ugandan capital, Kampala. What did you witness on the way? Did you travel by air or by road?
I traveled by road, by bus.
And what did you see along the road? I mean, how is the country looking like?
Well, the country is devastated, John. I can attest to you that if a population census is conducted tomorrow, the Madi tribe would not be counted because they are no longer in South Sudan. They have all been pushed to refugee camps in Uganda.
That's the Madi tribe found in eastern Equatorial State, correct?
Yes, along the Juba-Nimoli road. All the villages are empty. When peace came back to South Sudan, they had come back to settle in South Sudan. They built schools, they built churches, they built houses along the stretch of so many miles along the road, the Juba-Nimoli road. But they are no longer there.
Where did they go? I mean, who chased them away from their homes?
Well, it is obvious, John, that a skewed counterinsurgency strategy is now responsible for the civilian suffering in South Sudan, for the war crimes that have been committed against the civilian population in Greater Equatoria, in Greater Upper Nile. It's a policy of a blanket condemnation of civil populations, of villages. This is happening in Lanya. This is happening to Kakwa in Yei, Morobo. This is happening to the Kuku in Kajukeji.
Dengdi, you're coming fresh from Juba. What is the economic situation of the country?
Well, there is a total meltdown. There is a complete collapse of the economy. People cannot make ends meet in Juba. We have street kids all over the town. We have beggars moving around, women, men begging.
David Mayen Dangdid is the former press secretary to South Sudan Vice President James Mwani Iga. He spoke with U.S. John Tanza from Denver, Colorado. 16 African scientists competed in Rwanda last week for a chance to solve some of the most pressing problems in their communities. Chika Odua reports for VOA from Kigali, which hosted the fourth annual Next Einstein Forum.
For about 3 years now, this team has been working on a mobile health app for HIV patients. Joel Gasana, the head of the team, is a medical student at a nearby university. The app that they've created will help HIV patients keep up with their treatment.
In Rwanda, we have a very high prevalence of HIV, which is about 3.3% of the population, and data are showing that more than 27% of people on medication, they are not adherent. That's what pushed me to create an application which will help us to make sure that all patients are adherent to medication.
The team has been selected to compete for an innovation prize at this year's Next Einstein Forum held in Rwanda.
This is the Next Einstein Forum 2018 in Kigali, Rwanda. Welcome.
The Next Einstein Forum is said to be the largest gathering of African scientists. They discuss innovations to solve local problems. After a musical opening ceremony, Rwanda's President Paul Kagame opened the forum.
For too long, Africa has allowed itself to be left behind, but that's starting to change, as we see in the important work on display at this forum.
Dr. Rose Mutiso is a clean energy technologist.
I think it's been really refreshing and really inspiring to see that this community exists. This is a kind of growing and formidable force, and we're part of the global scientific communities.
Joel is practicing his pitch. After 3 days of events and panel discussions, it's time to conclude the science competition.
I'm about to do my final pitch. Wish me luck.
Conrad Tenku from Cameroon pitched a digital project to help women with cervical cancer. Rachel Sibande from Malawi presents an initiative to generate electricity from maize. In his final effort, Joel explains why his app deserves to win. And finally, the winner is announced. And it's Conrad Tenku from Cameroon. He won $25,000.
I'd like to say it's the first time this project is actually getting any recognition.
This conference was a great thing for me. I got an endorsement during my pitch. I got an endorsement from the Minister of Health, from the Rwanda Biomedical Center. And we have now an appointment in the next week.
The forum ends with smiles and a renewed commitment to promote science across Africa. Chika Odua for VOA News, Kigali.
The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. marched and mobilized millions to champion civil rights in America. Through his philosophy of nonviolence, King helped advance the United States towards passage of two major laws in the 20th century, the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and the Voting Rights Act of 1965. April 4th, 2018 is the 50th anniversary of his assassination. Viewer Arash Abasadi looks back at the influential, sometimes reluctant leader of the American civil rights movement.
April 9th, 1968, the final march of the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. Just a few days earlier, on the 4th of April, James Earl Ray, the man later convicted of the shooting, assassinated King on the balcony of the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, Tennessee. More than 100,000 people lined the streets of Atlanta, the place of King's birth, as two mules pulled a simple farm wagon carrying his body. King's funeral drew famous faces of the era, including Senator Robert Kennedy, future U.S. President Richard Nixon, and fellow civil rights activist the Reverend Jesse Jackson. Jackson spoke with VOA in August 2011 during the dedication of King's memorial in Washington.
He's really as a symbol of power and justice and peace and reconciliation. But we had to win some mighty battles to get the reconciliation. I mean, the Battle of Montgomery involved confrontation and endurance, a 381-day struggle.
Your orders to disperse, this march will not continue.
The battles of Alabama were for the voting rights denied blacks in many parts of the American South. It was followed by more police violence against civilians in the city of Selma in what came to be known as Bloody Sunday. Congressman John Lewis was one of the leaders of the student protests.
They came toward us, beating us with nightsticks, tramping us with horses, releasing the tear gas. I was hit in the head by a state trooper with a nightstick. I had a concussion at the bridge.
Can we have somebody take somebody to a doctor?
I thought I was going to die. I thought I saw death.
The televised violence sparked a national outcry.
We must let the world know, and it is necessary to protest this threefold evil. Problem of the denial of the right to vote, to police brutality.
A few days later, a court order gave King permission to lead tens of thousands of demonstrators to march from Selma to Alabama's capital, Montgomery.
Martin Luther King Jr. came by to visit me in my hospital room and said, John, don't worry, we will make it from Selma to Montgomery, and the Voting Rights Act will be passed.
A year after U.S. President Lyndon Johnson signed the Civil Rights Act into law, King's strategy of peaceful protest led to the signing of the Voting Rights Act of 1965.
Well, he believed in the legal process. He thought litigation alone was too slow. You needed litigation, demonstration, and legislation. He believed in mass action.
Arash Arabasadi, VOA News, Washington.
And that's it for this Tuesday, April 3rd edition of Daybreak Africa. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa team, I'm James Barton in Washington, wishing you a very good day.
Music time in Africa. Savor the flavor of African music. Hi, I'm Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Tune in. Feast your ears and dig in to an hour of amazing pan-African music, featured interviews, and music news. Music Time in Africa, Friday at 0900 and Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 15, 20, and 2200 hours UTC.